Would you guys want to take over the service? Yeah, I hope so. Well, what I need you to do is be friendly one more time. Now that more of you are here, one more time, just go meet someone, greet someone, tell them they're looking amazing. Give them a high five. Give them a bit of a hug. Give them a... We give the creative team a huge round of applause as they take a seat. Did an amazing job. So good to have you here this morning. You're looking amazing. Turn to the person next to you and say, you look incredible. Who's loving the weather? Come on. Summer is on the way. Seriously, who's a summer person? Raise your hand. All right. I just want to know for the sake of just knowing, who's a winter person? Oh, my goodness. How could you like winter? All right. I can go with spring and autumn, but I can't go with winter. Summer is the best. And daylight saving next weekend. Isn't that exciting? We're here again. Come on, don't you get excited? You can walk the dog at 8 o'clock at night. That's if you have a dog. If not, just steal one. Don't do that. I'm just being funny. Don't steal a dog. It's not a good thing, especially not my dog. But today we're excited. It's great to have all the guys there. Youth camp, I know there's still more arriving, and I know we've prayed for them, but, you know, I think it's something where we just need to do. Amen? So I'm going to start by just praying for this youth camp's coming up. I'm going to pray for things like protection. Amen? And pray for the catering, the food. Gareth is the most amazing person. He sets up the food. There he is. Where is he? He's somewhere around. He's out the back somewhere. And the food was always amazing, so you're going to have a good time. But I'm just going to pray and just pray for the presence of God, amen? So why don't we close our eyes? God, we thank you for the opportunity, God, of this camp. And I know, God, for many of us in this room that have been a part of a youth camp, that they have truly been incredible times of you getting a hold of our lives and speaking into our lives. And God, I pray for that over every individual that has placed themselves in an opportunity to put themselves aside from normal distractions for a few days to allow you, Holy Spirit, just to speak into their lives. Give them an encounter with you. Give them a revelation of you and of your love and your power in their lives and your protection and your calling and purpose over their lives. We thank you, God. We pray for protection. We pray for all our leaders, Father God, that they would survive with sleepless nights. We pray for the amazing food and all the people that are there, that God, that you would just hover over that place and you'd protect it and you'd provide for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. We've been on a bit of a topic just dealing with how God wants to set you free in your life and bring about life inside of you. In case you didn't know, God is so interested in seeing you move forward in your life. God wants to see you grow and become all that you are, all that you're called to be. And God's designed every one of you, and he's designed you in such an amazing way. And if, unless you didn't know it, you are actually designed for a purpose on earth. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says to us, all of us in this room, he says, I know the thoughts I have for you. I have a purpose, I have a future and a hope for every one of you. My desire for you is good, not evil. And he knows you. And you've got to get a revelation in your mind that when you were created by God, you were created for a purpose. So when God decided to make a Mona Luxton, everyone knows Mona Luxton. If you don't know her, give her a wave. This is Mona Luxton. What God did is he thought of something that he wanted to accomplish here on earth for his kingdom. And then he pulls back Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they get to working to design a Mona Luxton for that purpose. Amen? And God's actually literally done that for every single one of us. That's why you don't compete against anyone when it comes to God. Amen? We're all running in our own lanes. Isn't that awesome? That's why you don't need to compare yourself, as it says in the Word of God, among yourself with others, because you are literally unique. God has created you unique. And I guess sometimes he puts his signature on that. He gives you a fingerprint unique to yourself. Amen? Sometimes those are just like little things that God does just to let you know that you truly are unique. And what we've got to do in life is, we've got to allow God to use and be a part of everything that God's put upon our lives. And what we've been talking about is allowing God to deal with stuff that would stop us from growing. And we've looked at quite a few things. We've looked at this process. I know it's a big word. I'm going to use the word sanctification. Now it sounds big, but really what it means is that it is the word that we use to describe that God begins a work in you, and he begins to make you more like Christ. And that's that process. From the moment you decide to be a Christian, God begins, you allow him to start to work in your life to release the good and the purposes and all that he's got for you. And he'll start to work on those areas. He'll challenge the areas that are going to hold you back from being what God's called you to be. Amen? And sometimes as you get older, you might, if you are... got saved at an older age, you might have had all sorts of things going on in your life that hurt you and have held you back, and you might have had broken relationships. God will begin to work on that to see you come into all that he has for you. And we talked about a few other things. We talked about forgiveness, how that can stop you from growing in God if you don't deal with that area of your life. If you haven't heard any of these, please go to our podcast. We talked about quite a few other things. We talked about rejection. Rejection's a big one out there, that there's a lot of people that suffer from rejection. You know, you can actually be born with feeling a sense of rejection of your life, and God wants you to know that you are amazingly loved. No matter who you are, what background you come from, you have the opportunity to set your life into such a good place because you're loved by God. Amen? To the person who can say amen. Last week we talked about strongholds, things that the enemy tries to plant in your mind that'll hold you back. And if you want to hear more of that, once again, go to the podcast. This morning, though, I want to touch on words. Words that come out of your mouth, how important they are, how powerful they are. You see, as a believer, what we believe, because of the Word of God, is that the words that we speak have incredible power. Now, already I'd know there'd be some people in this room that you've had some things said to you, and I know, you know, whether you're a young teenager here today or you're someone who's more mature in age, I'm just going to leave it at that, or a young person like myself, not... It's not. You don't have to live long before someone says something that affects you for the negative. Amen? Who's ever had something mean or something that hurt you? Raise your hand. Come on. Someone said something. Come on. And it could have been in the playground. It could be in the workplace. It could be from your family. It could be from anywhere. The reality is we live in a world where, you know, people don't understand the power of words, and you've got to understand from the perspective of us being a Christian that what we speak has incredible power. It's not something small. What comes out of your mouth is something that is is according to God's word, is incredibly powerful, and it can change circumstances, it can change situations, it can change the course of someone's life. It's something that we have to be aware of as believers. And sometimes out there in the world, people just think words are nothing. And there's this old saying, I'm sure you might have heard it, if you're old enough, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt me. What a load of rubbish. I can get over a stick and stone, but when someone speaks a negative word, maybe from someone that I trust or love or thought I trust and love, that can stay inside of me, a close friend or something, for ages. Amen? Whereas sticking a stone, you know, of course they hurt. And your bones are broken. How many people have broken some bones? I've broken a few. Broke my finger recently. Paddleboarding. Thought I could do it. Awesome. Wave picked me up. I just thought, it was quite a big wave, and I thought, yeah, I've got this. I've only been doing it for a half an hour. And I thought, I'm paddling like crazy, and the board picks me right up, faces me forward. I go flying back, and somehow my finger, ouch. Sometimes you think what you can do, you just can't, right? Years ago, I remember I used to do windsurfing. And I was okay. I used to do some wave jumping when that was cool. I'm 50, right? Windsurfing's not that in. Kite surfing is in now. I never forget, I had all the gear and had all my mates standing on the beach. And we were out at Long Reef and there was some big waves. And I had this new wave jumping board. And I remember I was on the beach and all my friends were watching me. You know when your friends are watching you, you can just become someone different, you know. And it doesn't actually take that much for me, because it was like the sand became my stage and they're all up on the top watching me, because there was quite big waves. And I said, look, I'm going to go out there and smash it. And they're all looking at me and they're like, mate, really? Those are quite big waves. Yeah. The wind was whipped up. And I said, how many times have you done this wave jumping? I've done windsurfing a lot. I said, yeah, second time. How'd you go the first time? Not that good. And I remember getting out there and they're all watching me and I'm putting the wetsuit on. I'm just acting up and I had the board all hooked up. And I remember I just lying there and they're all sort of clapping and cheering, laughing at me, you know. And there was quite a few of them and there was a few other people watching and I was, you know, yeah, I've got this. Turn around going, yeah. And I remember I turned around and I had the board and the board was there and I was about to lean over just to get a hold of the board and this big wave crashes on this end of the sail and the sail is connected to the board and it's like a rubber thing that holds it in and the pressure, the wave hit there and it goes pop and it goes smack and hits me under the chin. I've still got a scar there. And I remember I just waved like this, my friends said, and then went and just lay there, and the waves were coming over, and they were in stitches, standing up there laughing their heads off until they realized, hey, he's drowning. And they reckon they came running down the beach, and they're dragging me out, and I'm lying there, was all blood coming out of my chin, and I was dragging me up on the sand, and they said they were fearing for me, but they were laughing so hard, because they reckon I just wavered like this, and just went without anything, boom, made this imprint. Like a gorilla biscuit in the sand. Anyway, it doesn't pay to be overconfident, right? And I've still got a scar from that to this day. I don't know how I got onto that. But it's just life, right? So the spoken word is something that's so powerful and it's something that we've got to be aware of. Hebrews 11:3 says, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Do you know that? God's so magnificent, he's so majestic, he's so powerful. He spoke a word and a planet starts to exist. Are you with me? That's our God. Imagine seeing that. Imagine that incredible power. John chapter 12, verse 49 to 50, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as his Father has, he told me, so I speak. What Jesus is saying is that he had great authority in his word. And Jesus actually has given us his word And we can speak that against any situation. We have creative power in our words. Amen? I don't think every believer gets in their minds that our words that we speak out actually create things. They actually move the spiritual realm. They move things into place, into existence. Are you with me? When you pray a prayer, you're not just babbling like you're chatting to a friend. When you pray a prayer to the Almighty God and you start to use the Word of God and use that authority, you can change atmospheres. We don't gather here on a Wednesday night and with a few of us around just because we want to talk with each other and have a little prayer time. We have this revelation that no matter who we are and how many get together, when we pray before God, things change. Amen? Who has seen an answer to prayer in this place? Raise your hand if you've prayed for something and you've seen something change. The fact is your word in general, your words have this incredible ability to change things around you. The authority of the spoken word has been given to us by God. We can speak things into existence. The Word of God goes quite heavy on this. But the reality is, if you keep speaking words into an atmosphere, if you keep on saying to someone, you're worthless, you're hopeless, you're worthless, you're hopeless, you know what? That starts to take root into someone's life. Amen? We've got to be mindful the effects that we have on other people with our words. And that's why bringing yourself into a place like church or youth or areas like that, you're getting the Word of God. You've got no idea sometimes exactly what is going on. You might think, I'm just popping in on a Friday night or on a Sunday morning or some service. You think, oh yeah, I could be outside, I could be doing something else. But you bring yourself under the Word of God, that Word of God begins to change your life. It never returns void, the Word of God says. Whenever God's Word is spoken, it has an effect. Whether you feel it, notice it, right now it is doing something in your life. Amen? And it's vital that we realize that the words that we speak actually cause things. They change things. We need to have a conviction about what comes out of our mouth. Amen? More than ever as believers in this place, we need to have a conviction about what is said and how it changes things and what it does to the people in the world around us. And you know what? There's two parts. There's two purposes to the words that come out of your mouth. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 puts it very clearly. It says, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You actually have, every day of your life, you have the opportunity to choose death or life with your words. Amen? The Word of God actually says that you have this opportunity. Your words will have an effect on death or life. And not just physical death and life. We've actually got to realize that there is a purpose behind. If you're a spiritual person, you understand that there's two parts to the spiritual realm. There's God, which is all good, and then there's the devil or the enemy, which is all evil. Amen? And the devil, John 10:10, we all know this. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am good. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Everything about God is good, and he that's his purpose over your life. But the enemy, he comes to kill, destroy. And what he wants to do is he wants to get behind your words for his purpose. And he will do everything. He will set you up in circumstances. He will bring you when there's pressure on your life. He is waiting for you to speak life or death out of your mouth, because the enemy knows the power that we have in words. Are you with me? He understands the creative power of your words. And when every time they release, we have no, so we sometimes just don't comprehend how powerful our words are. The enemy's ultimate aim is to bring, obviously, complete death and destruction to your life. But he, along the way, wants to bring death to your relationships, to your finances, to your health and well-being, to every part of your life. That's his purpose. And he tricks us quite often and coerces us into places where our mouth begins to speak death into the circumstances and situations around our life. Amen? Who's been there before? Who said something and it's left your mouth and you've just gone, why did I do that? Come on. Raise your hand. It could be a close friend. It could be a, you know, quite often the people we love the most are the ones that we say the horrible things to. True? I've been there. I've heard something come out of my mouth and I've gone, oh, why did I do that? And I've looked at the person's reaction. I'm gone, oh, man, why did I release that? Why did I allow that to come out? Because quite often when something's released hurtfully, spitefully, straight away it has an effect. True? And we've got to understand, see, the enemy, he knows this. He knows how you're created. He knows that you were created in the image and the likeness of God. He knows that your words have creative power. And he knows that they carry the weight of death and life to situations, not just physical death, but death to situations. He knows this. And so what he does in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2, there's a verse that says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. The enemy does, he sets things up. He tries to snare, get you trapped into places. And he might be looking at your family, your friends, or your workplace, or your finances, or your health, or whatever area of your life. And he just coerces you into a place. Maybe he brings great pressure. Maybe he sets up a circumstance that brings you to a place. And then you release death. And he's like, yes. Got him to release death into that situation. I've got him to cause chaos. So the words that we release, they actually give the enemy a right to work in our lives and in the circumstances of us around them. James chapter 3 verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. Amen? And today, I want us to be aware of this, because I know whether you're married, you're a family man or woman in this place, or you're just a young person, you've got parents, you've got teenagers, you've got kids, you've got people around you. Your words have an effect. With your friends, your words have an effect. Amen? Let me go a step further. Your Snapchats, your Facebook posts have an effect. Amen? Sometimes I find Facebook hard. I know it's got some great tools and Instagram and everything. I know that they are a communication tool of a whole generation. But sometimes just to trawl through and see what some people say, it's like this. Sometimes Facebook is like someone standing on a large box in the middle of a large village yelling out whatever they want. You never had that right before. We never gave microphones to idiots. But sometimes people do, don't they? You just think, why would they say that? You know, sometimes it's like, don't take it out of your head. Leave it in your head, all right? We don't have a right, through the Word of God, we don't have a right to say whatever we want. We actually don't. If you're a Christian in this place, God actually says that what comes out of your mouth or what comes out of your fingers, you're actually accountable for it. Amen? You're actually accountable for it. I've heard someone say to me, a believer, going, you know, I can tell it like it is. Well, you're telling it like it is from your perspective. Are you sure you want to do that? Amen? I remember when I'm sure most parents have had this scenario. I can't remember which one of my kids. I think it might have been Annalise or Aiden. I'm going to throw it in there. Or Madeline. You know that one where you're at the shopping center, you're in the grocery line, and your kid pipes up and says, hey, Daddy, why is that person so fat that's in front of you? Who's had that? Come on, raise your hand. Most parents, and you're like, and the person turns around and you go, What can you do? A 3 or 4 year old is just looking up and down, and they go, that's what they want to say. There's some 40 year olds who still do that on social media. Are you with me? That's not cool, right? You don't stand there and you're going to deal with it. The person turns around. I remember this person looked, glared at me, and I'm like, what can I do? Tie a gag around my, put a Kinder Surprise in their mouth so they can't talk. That's all you can do. It's life. The power of negative words. So the enemy, he wants to use you. And one of the greatest ways that he gets to use you is your words. Amen? Come on. Let's not be naive in this place. One of the greatest ways that he can just, you can have the most great, great conversations going on, and there's all this freedom going on, and you youth would know this, and laughter, and everyone's happy, and someone can just walk in there and go, well, gee, that person's ugly. I can't believe they're wearing that. Boom. The whole situation changes. True? Amen? You ever had that happen? Or at a workplace. You're sitting there and you're at work and there's great camaraderie going, and then someone walks away and someone goes, gee, I hate that person. Man, I can't stand their opinions. And the whole boom, atmosphere changes. True? What comes out of our mouth has great effect. Yeah, just focus for a moment. I mean, obviously, I'll tell you what, the enemy will try to do at a youth camp. He'll try to get you to feel like you don't belong or you don't fit by a few words that might come out of people's mouths. He'll try and do that because he wants to ruin what's going on this weekend. So look at me for a second, youth. Don't let it happen. Amen? Because I tell you what, God's got amazing stuff. Because some of you are going to get some words straight out of heaven into your life that will speak into your purpose and into your calling and into your life for the rest of your life. And the enemy will try and get something to go beforehand, so when you come into that meeting, you're all upset and you're not thinking straight because he's trying to stop you hearing from what God's got for you, because what God's got for you is life-changing. I don't know how many years ago, it was many, many years ago at a camp like this or an event like this, and I was just this young, insecure person. God spoke a word over my life. I ended up on my knees, and God called me to ministry and to what I'm doing. Literally what I'm doing today was maybe 30-odd years ago, came out of a word that happened. And I can remember that time. I was dealing with all sorts of things, friends and all sorts of things going on. So don't let the enemy try and do what he wants to do, amen? Stay on target. You hear something, go, hey, that's not nice, but I'm going to let that get in, infect me. I'm going to get a hold of God. And for all of us in the room, amen? How often does it happen on the way to church? Parents, how often does that argument, that struggle, that thing flare up on the way to church? You know, you walk in the door and you come through and you each other, and then you walk through the front door and you go, we go, welcome, and you go, hello. Game face is on. We're looking good. We weren't arguing. We weren't scrapping all the way to church. It's all good. And that's just me and Mary Ann. Goodness. Imagine what, who knows? That's why we travel on separate cars now. No, just kidding. The enemy's out to do what he can. The power of negative words. He wants to hurt you internally, and he wants to use your words to hurt others around you. But you have creative life in your words. So let me look at some types of words that the enemy wants to use. I know this is a negative, but it'll become positive. Is that all right? I like to sometimes just give you an idea what the enemy's up to, because he tries to lead us into stuff. And it's sometimes a good game plan is to know, especially if you're playing football, what the opposition's up to. True? Especially. Now, what a game it is. And the enemy knows this. So the first one is He wants us to speak words of faithlessness. He'd like you to get convinced as a Christian that speaking words of faith is ridiculous. Don't speak and pray words of faith over situations. That's stupid. That's superstition. Who does that? That's weird. Don't open your mouth and pray for that car park. Don't open your mouth and pray for the best opportunity. Don't open your mouth and pray over if someone's sick or healing. That's a bit weird. People are looking at you. What are you doing? You're a strange person. He doesn't want you. He wants you to keep everything in the natural and away from faith. When the reality is, it's the opposite. No one can tell me to stop praying for car parks because I've prayed for too many and I've turned up. And you might think it's ridiculous, but sometimes, boom, they're just there. And you go, well, was that a coincidence? But I've been doing it for 30 years and it keeps on happening. Amen? And just maybe I'm right and you're being ripped off. And maybe I've got some car parks that you were waiting for because you didn't pray. Well, maybe that time when you're feeling sick and someone does want to pray for you and you go, oh, no, I guess not. That's, I don't know if that's cool. You might have just ripped yourself off from getting instantly healed. Amen? Or that time when you had that finance thing and you're desperate and you're trying to fill up one credit card with another credit card just to get that bill paid and someone says to you, why don't you just pray about it? I can't, I haven't got time. I'm just trying to juggle all my credit cards, and then you suddenly pray and then out of the blue somehow something happens that pays it, amen? I can tell you a story where I was just going, oh God, I wanted to propose to my wife Marianne. I'm thinking, God, how am I going to get this money? I was a college student. I was working as a person in Kmart on Thursday nights, spruiking Duckham's oil, which is the most horrible job in the world. You had to tell people in Kmart about Duckham's oil who didn't want to know about it. And you had a little microphone. Hi, shoppers. Welcome to Kmart. I've got a special. Duckham's oil is on here today, and it's going to be $15. And some guy, could you get out of my way, mate? I'd stand there with my little flashing red light. Hello, shoppers. Man, it was a hard job. No one seemed to be interested in what I was saying. Hopefully that's changed. And basically, when you allow yourself to get in this place with words, you've got to change the way you think. You've got to get your head around what you're trying to do. You've got to speak words of faith. You can't leave them out. And years ago, I remember struggling, thinking of all these ways that I could get this money for this engagement ring. And then I remember a guy that was working with grabbed me, and he shook me, and he said, mate, have we prayed about this? And I said, oh, no. Man, I've just been so flat out. I'm just trying to work it out. And I remember we walked into his office. He closed the door for about 10 minutes. He said, God, you know, he's serving you, and he has no money, and he wants to propose to this girl, and he needs the money for this ring, God. And we were yelling and screaming and praying like hard, and I came out full of faith. I went home that night, and my dad walks out with a letter and goes, hey, son, I know you've been working for nothing for a while. And what I did is I grabbed your, and I did your income, because my dad was an accountant. I did your tax return without me knowing. And he said, guess what? It just came back. Is a check for $4,500. Because I'd worked half a year and then it didn't work because I did work for free and all the tax came back to me. And I was like, oh, that night. Had no idea. And the rest is history. Married the most beautiful girl in the world, and here we are. Next one, lying words. I'm going to keep the lying words. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. When you lie, guess what? You've got to lie again. And then you've got to lie again. And then you've got to keep lying. And then you start lying more. And you start putting more and more lies out there until it starts coming back to you and you forgot the last lie that you shared because it's not truth. Are you with me? Lying doesn't work, friends. It causes all sorts of issues in your life. It's crazy, and it hurts those people around you. Number three, critical, complaining and grumbling words. James 5:9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. God doesn't want you to get out there and grumble, complain and judge and pull someone else down. It's not worth it. It won't work. It brings death into your situations. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Oh, okay. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up and as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. What a beautiful verse. Why don't we slap that over our social media responses? Come on. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up and fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Amen? Wow. Imagine if we had that governing over our lives. Words of anger. Wow. How much damage can anger do? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Amen? Sometimes you know you're in a situation and you just know when you get angry, you can change that situation. You can cause an explosion. I know for me, as a dad in a home, if I'm frustrated, if I walk into my house and I get angry, it changes the atmosphere. Amen? I can cause everyone to be on edge and everyone's just goes crazy. And quite often, my wife / the Holy Spirit pulls me up on that all the time. Why did you have to say that angry? You didn't need to. And it causes chaos. True? Sometimes we just got to stop, pull back, not allow that. Because the enemy, he's trying to use you to produce death, and all that's good. Amen? James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my brothers, lest every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Amen? Next one, hypocritical words. The hypocrite. Proverbs 11, verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbors. Isn't that true? When you're not who you say you are, everyone looks at you and just goes, whoa, this person's talking, but I'm seeing something completely different. True? When we say words like that, when we live like that, it affects us. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up. Then the last one is careless words. We need to be very mindful of what we say, because they do contain power. And Matthew 12, verse 36 says, but I, Jesus, this is Jesus talking, it's in red, but I, Jesus, say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Ooh, hello. That woke you up. True? Be careful. Be careful with what you allow to come out of your mouth. Come on. We've got to have a mandate on our lives to speak life. We've got to put a bridle on our mouths. True? We actually got to put a filter and make sure that what comes out of our mouth doesn't fall into the plans of the enemy. Because every day, the enemy has a plan to use your words for his purpose. And every day you wake up, God has a plan for him to use your words for his purpose. Amen? And sometimes when you don't meet time with God, you don't spend time with God, you don't get that prompting to use your words the right way, and you get caught up in yourself. Amen? And just very quickly as we close, I'm going to get the band to come up right now. The power of positive words. Do you want to hear some scriptures? Proverbs 12, verse 6. But the speech of the righteous rescues them. Amen? Our speech rescues situations. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Are you hearing me? You can create a well of life in your house where people come home, where your family comes home, where your spouse comes home, where your friends are attracted to you. They come around. They want to be around you, because when you speak life, you speak positivity. I can tell you this. If you're a negative, gossiping, backbiting person, it's only a matter of time before you isolate yourself. After a while, people go, you know what? I just want to be around that person. They keep Every time I'm with them, they just keep talking about other people. They keep pulling people down. But if you speak words of life, if you say to someone, man, you're awesome. You're incredible. You look amazing today. You've got such talent. You've got such ability. You're such a beautiful person. You're such an amazing person. Do you know what? People are attracted to you. The Word of God says it. Proverbs 12:14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:18. The tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. How much life have we lost? We're not putting a bridle on our mouths. A soft answer, Proverbs 15, 1 says, turns away wrath. Proverbs 21, 23, whoever guards his mouth, the tongue, and keeps his soul from trouble. And Romans 12, 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? You know, there's a weight. I love that verse. It says that every idle word that we speak, we will give an account for it. Amen? And that's simply because you and I in this place, if you're a believer in this place, you have creative power in your words. And because we don't see it often, we don't see the effect of it, we think, oh yeah, no big deal. What I said didn't change or hurt anything. But I can tell you as a pastor, I've been a pastor for many, many years. I can tell you, I've spent my life sitting opposite people that have been affected by words as old as 20, 30 years old that were spoken over people's lives and into people's lives, and they were still having a negative effect 30 years later. Amen? Are you with me? Don't ever, ever, ever think that what you say is just worth nothing. You have such power. And in this room, the amount of power that we have to speak the kingdom of God over each other's lives and to speak positivity. Some of you could turn around and just say to someone something, and that'll be the thing that they've heard for the whole camp, or the thing that they heard all week is this incredible, positive, beautiful, God-inspired word that's released in someone's life. Amen? I had the most amazing dad. And I can tell you, my dad passed away about 5 years ago. I can still remember some of the things that my dad said over me. And I'm doing some of the things I'm doing today because my dad spoke them over my life. Amen? I remember my dad, when I was away from God, every morning he would get up and he'd pray and he'd fast one day a week when I was away. And I'd walk past this room on my way to work and I'd hear him pray. And sometimes I'd sit outside because he didn't know I was there. I was in the kitchen. He was in the lounge room. And I'd hear my dad praying for me. And he'd praying things like, God, I pray you get a hold of Andrew. Rescue him. I know he's away from you. Soften his heart towards you. God, I pray that you would use him for your kingdom. And I was away from God. I'd sit there and hear that. Those words had effect. Amen. You've got no idea what the power that you have. Who's a parent in this place? Raise your hand if you've got kids. The power that you have to speak life into your family, into your kids, is incredible. Raise your hand if you're a child in this place. You've got parents. The words that you say to your parents have effect. Amen? Amen? So what I want to do right now, I want to change gears for a little bit because this is something we do every single service. Well, almost every single service in our church. Because it's the greatest and most important thing that we could do. Because we exist as a church to give people an opportunity to come into a real relationship with God. You see, God wants a relationship with every one of you. We're not about religion. We're not just about knowing about God. We want you to know God for yourself. I grew up knowing about God, but at age 21, I made a decision to know God, and I've known Him ever since. And He speaks to me and I speak to Him through His word, and He speaks into my life and directs my life. And my heart's desire, and everyone in here that's a part of our church's desire, is to see everyone come to a knowledge of knowing Jesus in a personal way. So I want everyone in this room just to close your eyes for just a moment. And I want you just to be selfish for a moment. I want you just to think about yourself and yourself only. Because one day, the Word of God says that we will stand before God. We will stand before God. And in that moment, you can't rely on your friends or your family or your peers or anyone else around you. It's you and God. And we'll have to give an account of our lives. And I want you to, today, for a moment, just to put yourself in that position. As you stand here this morning, and I want you to be selfish for a moment. Just think about, don't think about anyone else around you. It doesn't matter. They won't matter on that day, so it doesn't matter right now. It doesn't matter how you look or to others, because on that day it won't matter. And what I want you to do today, there's two people in this room. The first one is someone that's never consciously prayed a prayer to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you have doubt whether or not you have prayed that prayer. You're not secure. You're not sure. You don't know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And if someone said to you today, if you died today, heaven forbid, would you go to heaven? You go, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, you need to be sure. You can be sure. You can have a revelation that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior and that you are a Christian. And I don't want you to leave this room without knowing that, and you can have that assurance in a moment. The second person is someone, you've made a commitment to Christ in the past. You've made a decision for Jesus, a personal decision, but you know you've been walking away from it in the opposite direction. And if you are honest with yourself today, it's time to turn around and walk towards God and give your life afresh to Him and rededicate yourself to that decision that you made and become a committed Christian, a believer again. And so what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to pray a prayer in this place. And I want everyone in this room to pray this prayer. But especially if you're one of those two people, you've never prayed a prayer, or you are unsure about being a Christian, I want you to pray it with all your heart, with all of us. Come on, let's do it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me, that you took away my sin and all my wrongdoing and replace it with your grace and your mercy. I accept today that I'm a child of God, that I'm a Christian, which means Christ in me, that my name today is written, as your Bible says, in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I have eternity in my heart, in Jesus' name. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every eye closed, just for a moment longer. Come on, just for privacy. Every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer as a rededication or for the very first time, come on, slip up your hand. Raise your hand. Great. Come on, raise your hands. Hands going up. Come on. Hold your hand up. Be proud. You prayed that for the very first time, or you felt today, you felt unsure and you prayed that for an assurance. Come on, raise your hand. Great. Two hands over here. Come on. Anyone else? In Jesus' name. Okay, our team of... Do we get those hands, guys? Great. Awesome. Do you know the decision that you've made today is the most powerful, most amazing decision? And I'm going to get someone to have a chat with you after the service and talk about that decision you made, okay? Why don't we give the Lord a hand for that this morning? Come on. Well, can I just pray for our words before we go out of this place? Come on, close your eyes for 1 minute longer. God, we just pray that you would give us a revelation over the power that our words have. God, your word says that death and life are in the power of the tongue and the power of what we speak. And God, I pray over this place that we would catch ourselves, that we would be agents of your kingdom, God, that would we allow our words to line up and speak life as it's the purpose of your kingdom. God, we come against the enemy and his ways to use us to speak life into those situations around us, to speak death in those situations around us. God, we declare that we will speak life in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Well, I think before we go, we need to do one praise song. Can we do that?